Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to today's Solarpack H1 2019 results presentation. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. I must advise you the conference is being recorded today on the 23rd of September, 2019. I'd now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Pablo Burgos. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Sarah. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Solarpack's results presentation of 2019's first semester. My name is Pablo Burgos, CEO of the company, and I am sitting with Maria Burgos, CFO of the company. Javier Arellano, in charge of investor relations, was not able to sit with us today for personal reasons. He will come back and serve our investors in 3 weeks' time. The preparation of these interim financial statements and results presentations as of June 30, 2019, took us more time than we wished. The company has put in operation a new accounting system last May, and the rollout has impacted the dates for delivering the consolidated financial statements, with a difficult month of August in between. The accounting system is fully operational now, and we do not expect any increased amount of time needed for the next results presentations as of September 30,  2019. Our conference call will be split between a presentation and a Q&A session that will come after. Total duration of this conference call will be 1 hour maximum. The presentation we will review this morning is available for download in our website and has been also uploaded to the CNMV website. If we can first move to page number 2, we will see the disclaimer that governs this presentation. Please read it after the call if you haven't yet. Page number 3 contains the index of what we are going to discuss today. Like in previous conferences, we will start with a brief review to the key milestones, then we will have an operations update and financial review. We will finalize with the outlook, both short-term and long-term. And after the presentation, we will start our Q&A session. Please follow the instructions you have received while registering for this call in order to place questions. In the document that we have filed, you can also find an appendix with additional information. We would also like to remind you that early this morning, Solarpack has filed to CNMV's website the interim non-audited consolidated financial statements. Moving on to page number 4, we want to highlight the key milestones for the period. Solarpack continues with the execution of the backlog and making good progress in all the territories. We expect to achieve 498 megawatts of construction starts during 2019, out of which 11 megawatts are already operational and 376 megawatts already under construction. A key target before year-end is to achieve construction start in the Alvarado, Quinantu, and Panimávida projects. Second milestone for the period is the closing of the acquisition of the Peruvian projects Panamericana Solar and Tacna Solar, which means that the company now owns the shares of these projects and will start to consolidate its results from September 5th onwards. The company has increased its attributable capacity to 188 megawatts and raised the percentage of revenues denominated in US dollars. A $30 million US dollar bridge loan has been disbursed with Banco Santander for financing this acquisition. Third milestone is pretty much related to the previous one. The company is implementing an industrial plan in these Peruvian assets and has agreed the entrance of Ardian in this investment after its deployment. Ardian will subscribe to a capital increase of 49% of the project shares and will allow us to repay the before-mentioned bridge loan, while also freeing up some cash. After the closing of this transaction in Q1 2020, Solarpack will continue to consolidate these projects since we will have a 51% controlling stake. Fourth milestone relates to movements in our projects portfolio. The company completed its first project in May 2019, an 11-megawatt plant in Chile called Chicago. A new project has entered the backlog and construction stages in June 2019. It's a 50-megawatt EPC contract for Aventron AG as client. And looking forward, we have relevant movements in the pipeline and identified opportunities stages, which we will see in further detail later. Finally, and as a fifth key milestone, we have achieved solid results in all our business segments. The most relevant one to highlight may be the development and construction segment, where revenue and EBITDA have picked up significantly during the second quarter, as we already anticipated in our previous earnings call. We'll take a closer look into these numbers during the call. Let's start with our operations update. Moving on to page number 6, we take a look at our numbers in our power gen division at the end of the second quarter. Nothing has changed from the previous quarter because the Chicago project is a build and sell project and does not form part of our power generation fleet. Although the Peruvian asset transaction has closed in September, we have prepared semi-annual pro forma numbers including these assets. Total power gen attributable EBITDA for the period has reached 12.3 million euros. Including the Peruvian assets from January 1st, attributable EBITDA would have reached 20 million euros, and the installed capacity would have increased from 141 to 181 megawatts. We want SolarPack to become a reliable generator of EBITDA on the basis of its power generation segment. Please turn the page to number 7 for the review of our Chilean projects. Now in the development and construction business unit. We want to share with you details about the progress of construction activities within our pool of backlog projects. Our biggest project, Granja Solar, 123 megawatts, is well advanced, and we are now focused in the final steps with the Chilean grid operator to complete interconnection and energization of the project before year-end. Tricahue, with 11 megawatts, has already started operations, and Bella Vista, the picture to the far right low, has been completed, and we expect to interconnect and energize very soon. As for Quinantu and Panimávida, the recent governmental discussions and actions in Chile for a new PMGD regime have not allowed us to start construction as expected in these two projects. Nevertheless, we have recently agreed with the buyer of these projects adequate terms in this new regulatory scenario, and we expect construction of at least one of these two projects to start before year-end. Both projects shall be completed during the first half of 2020. Please turn to page number 8. Our Spanish projects Monclova and Grullas are well advanced in their construction and are expected to connect to the grid and start production before year-end. As you may recall, these projects have rights awarded in the tender of Spanish renewables back in late 2017 and are obliged to start generating energy before year-end in order to keep their rights awarded under the tender. The other big project in Spain, the 100-megawatt Alvarado plant, has already cleared all environmental approvals, and we expect to reach financial closing with the buyer of the asset before year-end, allowing for the start of construction. Please turn to page number 9 to see details of the construction stage in other projects. Completing the review of Spanish projects, 50-megawatt Vargas project has achieved backlog status during the second quarter and has immediately started construction. We are delighted to work with our customer, Aventron AG, in this new project. Also, moving on to India, we had significant progress in two of the three sites we are building in India. In Karnataka, Afzalpur and Chincholi sites are expected to interconnect to the grid in the next few weeks. On the other side, we suffered contingencies during the construction of the Afzalpur site and expect to complete this project entering 2020 after we are granted with an extension of commissioning dates under the PPA contract. Please turn to page number 10 for a detailed evolution of project development and its current status as of September 20, 2019. Operating fleet reaches 181 megawatts with the addition of the Peruvian assets. 376 megawatts of projects are under construction after the kickoff in Vargas. Our development teams are making big efforts to move projects into backlog stage. We have achieved 362 megawatts of net additions to pipeline status since the previous results presentation in May. These additions are located in Chile, Southeast Asia, and the USA. And finally, we have 662 megawatts of net additions to our identified opportunities portfolio of projects, with the USA as main contributor to this growth. We are very optimistic about future megawatts being added to our backlog in this territory. Please turn to page 11, which is a more detailed view on how operating under construction and backlog portfolios have evolved. In addition to what has been already said, maybe a more detailed view on the pipeline additions, where Chile with 199 megawatts is the biggest contributor, followed by Malaysia with 116 megawatts and the USA with an additional 37 megawatts. This is proof of our focus in hard currency territories and also developing countries with good prospects like Malaysia. We continue to develop projects in Spain, but it is challenging to move projects from identified opportunity stage to pipeline stage due to congestion in interconnection approvals. We expect that the changes to interconnection processes allow well-funded developers like Solarpack to deploy our portfolio of assets in the country in a more predictable way. Please turn to page 12 for a detailed view of progress project by project in our backlog. Worth noting is that all our projects under construction have achieved debt disbursement stage, allowing for construction activities not being impacted by late debt disbursements, which is always a risk to be managed in our business. And as already mentioned, Alvarado has cleared all the environmental approvals, and we are moving to reach financial close with the buyer of the project and start construction before year-end. Now, a few slides to explain our transaction in Tacna and Panamericana, the so-called Peruvian assets. First, moving on to slide 13, we summarize our acquisition that was agreed in May and closed in September. We have paid $51.5 million for a 90.5% stake in these projects, which makes our ownership to 100% of the assets. In order to adequately fund this acquisition, which was not planned in our IPO prospectus, we have disbursed a $30 million loan with Banco Santander. Our IRR acquisition discount rate has been above targets, and we saw value creation opportunities when entering this transaction. Since preparing the transaction, we have started to work in deploying an industrial plan for repowering of the plants and the revamping of the O&M operations. Moving on to slide 14, we see the consequence of these activities and industrial plan with the agreements we reached with Ardian last week. Once we complete the deployment of the industrial plan, we expect to have Ardian joining the project with a minority stake of 49%, which is expected to happen during Q1 2020. This means that after the deal with Whitehelm Capital and the other shareholders in the project was closed beginning of September, our attributable ownership was 43 megawatts, as shown in the lower part of the slide, which will increase to 49 megawatts after the repowering, and which will be reduced to 25 megawatts when Ardian completes the capital increase next year. The Ardian transaction further strengthens our ventures with a top-tier investment manager like Ardian and allows us to generate value quickly while adjusting the total investment value in this project to an amount which we believe makes sense for Solarpack. $51 million invested into the Peruvian assets is too high for our portfolio. Total investment for the final net 41.5% after Ardian's capital increase will be known in Q1 2020 once the industrial plan is deployed and the closing with Ardian occurs. Now, moving on to page 16, we will go through our financial review. Please note that the information shown is our non-GAAP segment information, which explains activity and EBITDA generation in each business unit. Operating revenues have reached 93.8 million euros, and EBITDA has reached 19.8 million euros. Main impact of the second quarter has been the steep growth of the development and construction activities, both in terms of revenue and in terms of EBITDA. This is caused by the flow of equipment reaching construction site and the progress of construction activities themselves. We already anticipated this increase during our previous earnings call. In the power generation and services unit, we see a very linear evolution of revenues and EBITDA from the first quarter. We have also included in the first column the pro forma numbers related to the Peruvian acquisition, which would increase the attributable pro forma EBITDA generation to 27.5 million euros. Page 17 shows the updates in the development and construction segment. We have already walked through some of them, like the new Vargas project and the adjusted calendars in Alvarado, Karnataka, and the two Chilean projects, Kinantu and Panima Vida. Gross margin stands at 13%, slightly below our outlook, but this is due to the different timing of the EPC margins and the development margins. As we will mention in our outlook slide, we reiterate our short-term outlook. In our short-term outlook, our gross margin for the backlog projects of 14.5 to 17.5%. Growth is very significant in this business unit, with operating revenues soaring to 77.4 million euros in first semester 2019, compared to 2.5 million euros in the first half of last year. Moving on to page number 18, we show numbers related to our power generation business segment. Growth in operating revenues and EBITDA has been 37% and 35% respectively compared to last year, and have reached 14 million euros and 12.3 million euros respectively. Pro forma numbers rise to 22.5 million euros in operating revenues and a 20 million euro EBITDA. We are also well within our KPI target of contracted revenue and hard currency. Contracted revenue stands at 95% and hard currency weight stands at 76%. Both KPIs will improve once the Peruvian assets start being part of our attributable financials. It is also worth to mention that we had an increase in the receivables of our Indian projects in Telangana due to budget constraints in the government-owned distribution companies who are our off-takers. We are closely monitoring the evolution of these receivables to bring them down to normal levels in this market. Moving on to page 19, we can see growth in our services segment, which has been 8% in operating revenues and 18% in EBITDA. Gross margin and EBITDA percentages have improved, slowing healthy profit levels in this segment. We have increased the O&M fleet to 181 megawatts from 160 megawatts due to the addition of the Chicago project and the Colombian project we built for Celsia last year. In this business segment, we have merged our AMS asset management and O&M operational maintenance teams into one single organization to focus in a joint P&L account, which is the addition of the power generation and services business units. We have also deepened in our strategy to get rid of asset management contracts with third parties that are not strategic to SolarPack. That's why we have reduced our asset management fleet from 302 megawatts at the end of last quarter to 279 megawatts at the end of this quarter. Please turn to page number 20, where we can see the evolution of our net debt. Compared to the numbers shown at the end of year 2018, we see a steep increase in our ratios, both in IFRS and non-GAAP. IFRS multiples rise to 7.3 times from 3.49 times in year 2018. Non-GAAP ratios rise to 5.5 times from around 2 times in year 2018. This was also anticipated in our earnings call in 2018, because all our backlog construction activities, which do not provide for any EBITDA yet, have reduced the amount of cash available from the IPO through the investment of the equity, and the projects under construction have also disbursed 25.6 million euros of additional senior debt. Please also note that NIF 16 has increased the amount of debt in 2019 compared to 2018, since we had to account as debt lease long-term lease agreements in Spanish projects. This is well noted in the amount of debt of the existing operating projects, which grows counterintuitively from 144.7 million euros on December 31st, 2018 to 147 million euros on June 30th, 2019, although we have already repaid some of the senior debt, which was accounted for in December, last December 31st. The project finance debt is at healthy levels, and we still see opportunities for improving debt terms in some of the operating projects. Therefore, we are just starting a few processes to renegotiate debt and potentially increase the amount of non-recourse debt, always at prudent ratios. Moving on to slide 21, we take a look at our IFRS results. Higher operating revenues, which grow at 113% compared to first half 2018, reflect the progress of construction in our Tucahue and Bella Vista projects. The build and sell projects, which are yet to be transferred to their buyer, and the ones that are accounted in the operating revenues IFRS accounts. Once this transfer to the buyer happens, this activity will also be reflected in our IFRS EBITDA and net profit. For the moment, the IFRS EBITDA mainly shows the power generation and services business units contribution and all our headquarter and SG&A costs. This EBITDA has grown from 7.3 million euros in the first half of 2018 to 9.8 million euros in the first half of 2019. On the contrary, we have a reduction in net profit from 2.9 million euros in the first half of 2018 to 0.6 million euros in the first half of 2019. This is due to the fact that our SG&A expenses have increased significantly compared to 2018, but still no margin has been contributed from build and sell projects into our IFRS profit and loss. This will occur only when we sell or dispose of the build and sell projects. We expect that the disposal of these assets will occur before year end. And please see our Appendix 1 for more detailed information on our balance sheet, P&L, and the eliminations between our non-GAAP and IFRS financials. This comment leads us to the final slide, number 23, where we take a look to our outlook. We basically reiterate our short-term and long-term outlooks. The only difference that we see is the reduction in our forecast of the project finance debt needs for building the backlog. We expect a total 155 to 160 million euros to be disbursed once our build and own backlog projects are fully operational. You can go back to slide 20 and see that as of June 30, 2019, a total of 25.6 million euros were already disbursed out of this expected 155 to 160 million euros. Nothing else to comment on the rest of the outlooks, which we confirm from our latest conference call. Well, that was all from our side related to the presentation. Thanks for your attention, and we can now move forward to the Q&A session. Both our CFO, Maria, and myself will be happy to address your questions. So, Sara, please, let's go to questions.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. So that's star and one to ask a question. Your first question is from the line of Gonzalo Sanchez-Bordona from CaixaBank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my questions. I have two for me. One's related with the Peruvian assets acquisition. Just a confirmation on how the deal will be structured. If I understand correctly, you are planning to consolidate the 100% capacity since the acquisition up until the first quarter of 2020, in which you will reduce the attributable EBITDA. Is that correct? Or otherwise, how are you planning to do this? Also related with the projects acquisition, you said you will be freeing up some cash out of the transaction. You haven't provided the number, if I'm not mistaken, so I was wondering if you could just guide us on how much, probably not the amount of the cash that you would be freeing up, but how much you expect to grow elsewhere as a result of this transaction, or the value creation that you expect on this transaction in rough terms. Second set of questions is related with the Indian receivables issues that you're having. Could you provide some more detail on what has been the impact of that, and what is happening there, and what are your expectations, and how this can affect your balance sheet? Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Gonzalo. So maybe on the first question about how we are accounting for the Peruvian transaction, being consistent with all our non-GAAP and IFRS rules, starting September 5th this year, we will have 100% of these assets into our attributable numbers. As of today, until September 5th, we have 9.5%. So this will increase these attributable numbers significantly. Also, because as of September 5th, we have control of these entities, in our IFRS numbers, we will reflect both in our P&L and our balance sheet a full consolidation of these assets. We will also conduct a purchase price allocation process as requested by IFRS rules after the acquisition of these assets. Looking next year and until the acquisition is closed with Ardian, which we expect to close on the first quarter, we will have 100% of attributable numbers until that very same day. From this day onwards, our attributable percentage will be reduced to 51%. So all our power generation segment numbers will be reduced up to 51%. But we will still keep full consolidation in our IFRS accounts, and a new minority interest will shown in our accounts representing the shares of the percentage owned by Ardian in these assets. So this is mainly how we will proceed. Any further question on this, Gonzalo?
No, that's very clear. Thank you.
Okay. Regarding the amount of cash that will be freed up, we still cannot confirm this number. The reason is because the amount of cash when Ardian enters the project will depend on a few things. First, on the evolution of the asset until that date. Second, because we are in the process of deploying an industrial plan, and we need to see final costs in this industrial plan. So we cannot, as of now, confirm an exact figure. What we can say is that the amount of cash that will be available for us, it will be in excess of $30 million for this investment of 49%, capital increase of 49% done by Ardian, which will allow us to fully repay the bridge loan. I think that's a key element in the transaction. So the amount of cash will be above $30 million, but we are not now in a position to confirm this number. And finally, with respect to the Indian receivables, due to elections in the state of Telangana, There have been budgetary constraints in the public DISCOMs, which are our off-takers, which have delayed approximately in the 3 months, in the amount of 3 months, delayed the normal payment of invoices in the last quarter. So this has limited our capacity to have cash available for distribution in these projects. And we are seeing signs that this situation can be solved shortly. We are monitoring it closely and constantly, interacting with distribution companies to lower the amount of receivables to what is normal in this market, which is slightly below the six-month receivables period. Any other clarification in these two last points, Gonzalo?
No, I think that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jorge Guimarães from JP Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you very much for taking my questions. I have some. Firstly, on this Peruvian acquisition, you mentioned that your industrial plan involves the repowering of the plants to 49 megawatts. Should we assume that this cash available above 30 million already includes that repowering? I mean, the money you receive plus the money the plant generates will be enough to pay for the repowering and still be in excess of $30 million. This would be the first one. Then the second one, on your pipeline, on your asset maps, you say that you have closed financing for three projects. Can you detail on that? Thirdly, is it possible to clarify what do you mean by reducing the project finance debt needs? Because comparing first quarter and second quarter presentations, I a bit lost in where you see the debt reduction. And finally, can you give us a view about where do you expect to pass more capacity from pipeline to backlog? I mean, I know this is always a very hard question to answer, but if you can give us some idea of when should we expect more megawatts being transferred from pipeline to backlog. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Jorge. Happy to address these four questions. So first on the Peruvian, on the industrial plan related to the Peruvian assets, I can confirm that what we expect to have as available cash, which allows us to at least fully repay the Banco Santander bridge loan, already considers the resources needed to execute the repowering. So you should see this 30 million plus as a net amount after repowering expenses are considered. And that's the way we are going to show the numbers once they are final. We see this as an investment of 21.5 million euros from our equity. The rest was funded by the bridge loan. So we will see this deal in the final amount that we will have to invest for the additional 41.5% we are acquiring in the end. And this is how we are accounting for. So to your question, the answer is yes, it is already accounted for before the 30 million plus cash generation. Second, on the pipeline, what we try to share with you is that we have reached disbursement. We have in the last presentations shared with all investors and analysts that we had signed agreements with KfW, for example, with respect to the Chilean projects, with Bank Inter and Bankia with respect to the Spanish projects, and then with Tata Cleantech with respect to the Indian projects. What we are seeing now is that we have achieved disbursement of these loans, which is a different milestone, but as important as closing the financing, because it shows that you don't not only have the commitment from lenders, but also that the projects are in a shape where lenders confirm the disbursement of their funds. Any clarification needed in these two questions, Jorge?
No, perfect.
Okay. Third, looking at the numbers of project finance debt, it is a slight movement of project finance debt needed to complete the backlog projects. In the last presentation, we shared with you that the range we were expecting to have was 160 to 170 megawatts. What we have done now is to narrow this range, because once disbursement happens, we have confirmation of several magnitudes in the financial base case, and we can foresee much better the amount of debt which will be finally disbursed. Also, some currency exchange impact is the reason why this number moves slightly. So that's what we have done, basically. We have narrowed the gap now that we are approaching the end of the construction, and we have updated the gap to the current terms in the projects. And finally, on confirming when capacity will pass from pipeline to backlog, as you say, this is, you know, we cannot say a date. What we could say is that we expect some of this to happen before year end, and the amount will depend significantly on the final outcome of different bid processes we are in, and also in case we have ready to build notice to proceed, instructions from Aventron for the additional 50 megawatt EPC contract we have with them. So we cannot confirm the amount of megawatts coming into backlog before year end, but we consider highly probable that a certain amount of megawatts will move from pipeline to backlog before year end. I don't know if you wish to have further details on these questions.
Just slide some on this last one you're mentioning. So should we assume the most of the megawatts passing from pipeline to backlog over the short term will be built to sell and not built to own? And just a final one on follow-up on Gonzalo's question on Indian receivables. How much money are we talking about on these receivables? And this will be my last one.
Okay. So I will ask Maria to step into this last question. Maybe on the clarification you wanted for the pipeline to backlog transition, I would say that if we have additional pipeline to backlog to this 50 megawatt EPC, it will be definitely build and own projects. The only thing is that the amount of megawatts that will transition to backlog is not easy to forecast, but what we can say is that we are involved in several tenders, and we expect new tenders to be announced before year end, and where we are preparing ourselves to participate, which should guide us lead us to some transition from pipeline to backlog.
Okay, for the debt of the Indian projects, we have a total debt of 11 million, but the increase for this quarter was 1.4 million in these numbers.
So once again, if anybody would like to ask a question, you can press star and one on your telephone, and it's the hash key if you'd like to cancel. So that's star and one to ask a question. Thank you. There are no further questions at this time, so I'll hand back to you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Sarah. Thanks, everyone, for taking part of this call, and we expect to release soon our next conference call date to present our third quarter results. Thanks, everyone, for joining.
Thank you. That does conclude the conference for today. Thank you for participating, and you may now disconnect.